You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We bring aboard Bernie Kosar regularly on this show, the former Browns quarterback. And this segment brought to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. See what everyone's talking about at rosewoodgrill.com. I got to tell one Rosewood Grill story. So last night I take my wife there.
You did,
The one in Strongsville. And the Ambroses, Dick Ambrose, Bam Bam Ambrose, former Browns linebacker, now Judge Bam Bam, his wife Mary Beth, the four of us were over there. It was unbelievable. Now you're married to, when your wife is a great cook, mine is too, you rarely say things. I almost never want to get into comparing her cooking with anything else, including restaurant food. Right?
Absolutely not.
All right. My wife makes a great salmon. She can, on plank, she'll do it, do it on the grill, different, whatever she puts on it, makes, great stuff, brown sugar, you name it. Well, last night I ordered salmon on the plank. She did too. And I looked at her and I said, look, am I going to get in trouble for saying this? Because this is the best salmon I've ever had in my life. And I always thought yours was the best until this. And she looked at me and she said, no. She gave me a pass. It was out of school. And that place, and you got like the little fire pit outside. It's such a great atmosphere. You got to go to Rosewood. It's a neighborhood joint that seems to turn an everyday visit into a special event. All right. Speaking of special, this guy joining us right now from Florida, and I made him hungry now too, is our great friend Bernie Kosar. Bern, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and boy, the four of you guys had a big crazy time last night, huh? How looking at barbecuing and that, huh?
We had a lot of fun at with the Ambroses and hashing over the. And my phone was on and Dick Ambrose was teasing me because he said he noticed the phone was sitting there, and every now and then it would light up with something, a text or a call. He said, any more surprises tonight? I said, please, no more. We've had our surprises enough for the week.
Well, just before you even get to football, with Dick Ambrose, debatably one of the most top players in Cleveland's, illustrious history. But he's such a phenomenal guy. And to be a judge like he is, some of the, we're keeping things in perspective, which sometimes I have a hard time doing, how much I love football, the passion and the love of the game. But you see some of the things that he's done in his life and what he's doing now and some of the cases that he gets that, I know a lot of us are worked up this week with the Trent Richardson trade and the record of the team and, really where we're going. And I don't minimize how much importance that plays in my life. But you see some of the cases and some of the things that he's had to deal with and some of the stuff that's gone on in Northeast Ohio, some of the real tragic situations that have happened to people personally that has to go in front of his bench and his court. It really puts things in perspective as to really how blessed we are that, football is something that's, our diversion and something that we really derive a lot of entertainment from.
Yeah, you're right. I'm so glad you mentioned that, too, and I don't want to get too far off this tangent, but you're right. The real-world stuff, and that's kind of what we do. When I'm with Judge Ambrose, I'm talking football. He loves to talk about it constantly, and Mary Beth's a big fan as well, as my wife is. But then when I hear what he shares sometimes, and he can't share a lot of details of things, obviously, cases, but just, as you say, the types of real-world things, it does put stuff into perspective. Nonetheless, we're all football fans. We're all football crazy. And a story like this, this trade, rocks everybody, and it's rocked the National Football League. And, Bernie, as you look at it now, you've had some time to digest it, as the rest of us has. Where do you see what this does in the grand scheme of things going forward for the Browns?
Well, in the short run, just like a fan, it's something that, it catches you off guard. You sometimes get disappointed in it. But, the team started out 0-2. We could talk statistics all day long. 12% of the teams that start out 0-2, make the playoffs. After the first two preseason games, the excitement, the enthusiasm of the offense, where we were going, how it appeared we were going to perform, was at a high level. And even then, we talked about on the show publicly and privately of you can't get too down in preseason, and you can't get too excited. And we were really excited over those first two games, and we kind of cautioned, again, publicly and privately, cautioned ourselves to not get overexcited over into those first two preseason games, because the regular season tends to be a different story. And to start out slow like we did offensively, to start out slow like we have as a team 0-2, it's pretty obvious the team's not ready to compete at a playoff caliber, Super Bowl caliber team. And albeit Trent Richardson leaving like this doesn't help that in the short run. And I'm not diminishing the fact the running backs are not important, because they are extremely important. You just, from a position standpoint, it's one of the easier positions to find guys later in the round, later in a draft, and guys tend to get acclimated at that position quicker than other positions. That being said, that doesn't make it easy. And with the team not really looking to be a playoff team this year, looking for the future and trying just not to tread water or just not trying to be an average team, the draft is the way you go today to being able to get up and be a winning football team and a top-tier football team. And, again, we did this with the Julio Jones thing, where we got the extra one and we got the extra fourth-round pick. And we did blow that, and it didn't work out in terms of the personnel, the picks of it. Having these picks, though, being able to have that opportunity again, and this time hopefully being right with them, is something that's imperative, but because it gives you a chance to get up to that level of talent that you need to have playmakers. I mean, the X's and O's, the coaching, it's very important, but there's no substitute for playmakers, difference makers, guys that go out and make plays, and we just don't have enough of them right now. And, again, I'm not trying to diminish Trent Richardson. I do think we gave up too much to move up that one pick to get him. And when you give up a fourth, fifth, and seventh-round pick to move from 4 to 3 is something that, you know, in retrospect, but we even talked about it at the time, something probably most people wouldn't do. That being said, right now we need more picks. We need more playmakers. And in the short run, you know, we just don't have enough of them.
I agree, and I think that's why, you know, I understand why this trade was made. I want to ask you about the quarterback position, though. Brandon Whedon won't play this week. Brian Hoyer is now the starter, Bernie. And Brandon Whedon, it sounds like, won't be that serious. Could be back as early as next week. Won't need surgery on his thumb. And Rob Chudzinski refused to say that he would be the quarterback once he comes back. What is the message being sent as you see it? And as a former quarterback, how do you react to that and how do you feel about it?
Well, again, I don't think it's fair to say everything is Brandon's fault right now. That
agreed.
Being said, I don't think he's played. He hasn't played to the level that that he expects of himself, nor you need to play to be a winning quarterback. So, you know, two games doesn't make a career, but in those two games, his play needs to improve for us to be a winning football team. There are, the phrase again, we are victims or beneficiaries of the guys around us. And Josh Gordon coming back, guys being able to play, make plays around the quarterback position, it's imperative, because Brian Hoyer's sense of timing, his ability to read the coverages, his ability to throw, anticipate the throws and where to go with the ball, just from the Chicago game, albeit, yes, a preseason game, I am incredibly impressed with the way he throws the ball and his sense of timing and his understanding of where to go and his accuracy. That being said, guys, we haven't had separation. We haven't had really open guys consistently enough in the first two games. Hopefully with Josh Gordon coming back, we'll get some of that, because we've had some drops, and when we have had the couple times we have had guys wide open, like on the Obanaya arrow takeoff, the wheel route, we don't connect on it. We need to connect on those plays, and I like the way, again, Brian Hoyer's throwing the ball in terms of he's probably got the best understanding of the offense, of the quarterbacks, because you could see in his reads, his confidence, and how quick that ball gets out of his hands. That'll also help the pass protection, because I think at times when you're holding that ball that extra count or two, you're not anticipating the throws like Brian does. That adds to the quarterback hits and adds to the sacks.
Bernie Kosar joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Yeah, Bernie, I mean, because that's the thing that this comes down to when – It was down to Hoyer and Jason Campbell and picking a starter. And from your quarterbacking perspective, why would there be more value over the quicker reads? You just broke down all the things that you saw that you liked of Brian Hoyer against Chicago. One of the things that was obvious was that general lack of the great arm or the great arm strength to make plays. But he, you know, in every other way, he looked good. And as you said, his intelligence, his savvy, what he brings to the room, what he can do so quickly, all of that was valued because he's playing behind a line that is not doing the best job in pass protection. But still, 71 career starts, and another in his whatever time he played late in the game for Jason Campbell. Why wouldn't that carry still more weight at the end of the day?
Well, again, I've liked the way Jason Campbell, when he's been healthy, he has played, you know, especially late in the last few years of his career here. I was a little disappointed. I didn't particularly, you know, he came into a really tough situation. 3 minutes, I think 24 seconds to go, backed up on the 1 yard line, needing to go 99 yards. I don't particularly like that he said that, and I think he should leave that for people like me and you to comment. I think as the quarterback, when you come in, albeit that is a tough situation, you need to come in as the eternal optimist, as the positive guy, as the guy who plans on making a difference, plans on making a plays, knows he's going to make the plays. And albeit that is a tough spot, you tend, at least from the way I look at it, want to see people like me talk about that's a tough spot, as opposed to the players, and especially the leader of that huddle.
Never let him see you sweat.
Yeah, talking about that. So, again, the line's been struggling. The right side has had issues. Pass protection and pass pressure, the collapse of the pocket, we all see that. Brian Hoyer, I just think, has been throwing the ball. His sense of timing and the way he gets it out there, gets it out of his hands quicker, and the reads a couple tenths of a second quicker than the other guys. And I think that in turn may help at least give us a better chance at having the opportunity to make some plays.
Bernie, one of the things that I'm getting asked on my timeline as people, you know, take some umbrage with the fact that we understand this trade and support it and have pointed out some facts about Trent Richardson. They say, okay, that's great. So long term, this is going to be good for the Browns. Even if we buy in that, they still have 14 games to play this year. What are some of the things you're excited to see with the Browns for the next 14 games?
Well, you know, there's a lot's been said about, you know, players and what they're going to think in the locker room. When you had the fourth pick in the draft, you know, and you're playing, and you win 4, 5, 6 games a year, like we have the last couple years, and you're 0-2. Your opinion isn't really wanted as guys in the locker room. You need to be playing and doing the best you can, and knowing that you have to get better. Looking within yourself as players to make your own plays, despite whatever's happening around you. What I want to see from the guys is individuals taking it upon themselves to make plays. Again, it sounds so simplistic, but the Jimmy Johnson kind of saying of somehow, some way, make a play. It's not easy. I'm not trying to minimize or simplify it that much. I get it's not easy. But somehow, some way, guys need to look within themselves to come up with how they can make plays. And again, Josh Gordon's coming back to us this week. He had phenomenal practices throughout training camp consistently. It didn't really translate into the preseason games and onto the field in those four games. Guys like that wanted to see him come up with a way to make plays, make catches, make throws, make blocks, make tackles. Again, I'll go back to Joe Hayden's comment after the first game against the Dolphins when he shut down the big free agent, Mike Wallace, all this hype, speed, money that he got in the offseason, going from Pittsburgh to the Dolphins, and he gets one catch. Everyone's saying, hey, Joe, you played a great game. You played a great game. He goes, no, we didn't win. He goes, if I need to make another interception, if I need to pick a ball off and I need to run it back for a score to help us win, that's when it's a good game. That's when it's a great game. That type of mindset, to see guys figure out a way to make a place to see if they can help our team win is something that I think is imperative mindset and what I'd like to see out of individuals going forward through these next 14 games.
Bernie, as you see this setting up for Minnesota, you know, you could choose to look at it and say, okay, this team is reeling from the aftershock of this trade. But in truth, in this locker room, I think your point is so strong that the opinions don't matter of what you do as a player. It's not your opinion that anyone's looking at. And if anything, everyone is on notice. This is really sent a strong message of accountability, which is what the NFL has always been about, and maybe more so than ever around here. So as you look at it from a player perspective, and then you've got Brian Hoyer, a chance to really be part of a special story. This could be where, as journalists, we're all looking at this thing and saying the best story that could happen is the hometown kid comes in under these circumstances now and triumphs and has, and you know, if he plays really well on top of it, that's great. But if they just win and he's the one to lead them to that win, wow, you know, it's setting up for something special. Can the mindset, can the distraction, can all that is going on, because players like the rest of us are aware of all this dominant conversation of Trent, can they put that aside and just play a football game Sunday?
They have to, Vic. They have to put that aside. Look, me and you said this starting in the off season. Society sometimes is starting to look like this is an entitlement society and we're entitled to stuff. The beautiful thing about football is you're not. It's a result-oriented black and white situation. You win or you lose. You make the plays or you don't. And if you don't win games and you don't make plays, you're not going to be around. That's always been about what the league's about. And we said this in the off season. When you have a new team or a new organization, a new system, and you've been picking in the top five consistently, and you're winning four, five, six games, you are for sure expendable. And they are looking to replace you. And if you don't have that focus, that level of commitment and passion towards wanting to win and not give them a reason to replace you, to not give them a reason to get rid of you because you're making plays, it's the only way you could stay in this league. And if they don't have that mindset and they don't think about it, and a trade like this does bother them, they shouldn't. I don't want them to be part of my team.
And there it is. Bernie, always a pleasure. It's certainly been an interesting week here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I appreciate your take as always and enjoy your time down in Florida.
Sounds good, guys. See you next week.
All right, we'll talk to Bernie next week. You know, one of the things to me that is interesting, and we'll hit this in a second, there's an article written by Scott Fujita, who played for the Cleveland Browns as recently as last year, about this trade, and I think it's at foxsports.com. Yeah. It's interesting. We're going to dive into that a little bit more. We still got Gerard Cherry coming up. Scott Petrak will be joining us as well in Browns the second people. Hour. So lots to come here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here on ESPN 850 WKNR.